which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, just a level of housekeeping. Will you please all check your cell phones and make sure that they are either on mute or turned off, please? And prior to opening to public comment, I have a little reading to do, so please bear with me. Special note on public meetings during shelter-in-place order. Pursuant to the Governor's Executive Order N-2920, a local legislative body is authorized to hold public meetings via teleconferencing and to make public meetings accessible telephonically or otherwise electronically to all members of the public seeking to attend and to address the local legislative body during the period in which local public officials impose measures to promote social distancing. Effective June 30th, 2020, Board of Supervisors meetings are open to the public and in-person attendance. I'm not going to read the part about 35 members because we're at a different location, but it's open to the public on a first-come, first-served basis and with the following safety measures in place. Touchless temperature checks are available to participants on a voluntary basis. Participants with a temperature of 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit or higher or displaying other symptoms will not be allowed in the building. Participants may provide their name and contact information. This information is to be used for contact tracing in the event of a positive COVID-19 test for any supervisors, staff, or public participants. County Council will deliver contact information to Public Health for contact tracing purposes if necessary. All participants will be required to wear face coverings or masks unless speaking into the microphone. Single-use masks are available at the door at no cost to the public. A remote public participation is still encouraged in the following way. For audio and real-time commenting via phone, please dial 530-212-8376, conference code 933-876, and press 5-star to raise your hand to comment. Once again, phone number 530-212-8376, conference code 933-876, and press 5-star to raise your hand to comment. This board has chosen to exercise its discretion and limit each speaker to 3 minutes. Public comment will be limited to 20 minutes at the beginning of the meeting, and if additional time is needed, time will be allotted for a second public comment at the end of the meeting. Just to note, there will be comments during item number two, but this right now, this is open for public comment on items not on the agenda. So anyone wishing to address this board on items not on the agenda, please step up to the podium and good evening, Pastor Scott.
I'm here to pray.
I don't think your microphone's on, sir.
Now it is.
Now it is.
Father, thank you that we live in a country in which we can come and address elected officials. We can vote to support or to oppose issues or individuals. I thank you that we live in this county, in this community. I pray that as folks come and express their concerns tonight, they will be respectful and articulate, that they'll be clearly understood, that the board will listen with respect, that wise decisions will be made. Thank you for keeping us safe from the most terrible ravages of the COVID virus. I pray there would be no more loss of life in this community, and that we might see businesses revived and normalcy restored. Thank you for keeping us safe from the fires. Pray that those that are still raging around us might have no further loss of life, nor property damage, nor livestock damage. Thank you, Father, that we live in this country where we can come and exercise our freedoms. And I pray that we would never take those for granted. As we come close to this election now, Father, that has been so divisive, only you can bring harmony and peace. And I pray that you will do that. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening, Larry La Laguna. I want to address the meeting we had earlier today. And I've come to the conclusion that Mr. Bundy, Mr. Williams, and Mr. Dennis Garden have formulated their own Mensa chapter because they think they're so damn much smarter than everybody else. but that's just among you three, as far as what you think. Mr. Garten, when we got done with public comment regarding the extension and renewal of Mrs. Mace's contract, and the discussion was among the board members, you made a statement, and it really came home with me to understand what the problem's been with three of you that I just mentioned. You said you were tired of listening to us. That's what you get paid for, to listen to your constituents, the general public, your employees. You work for us. He works at your pleasure. Start representing the people and your constituents. Thank you.
I'm Bradley Smith. I'm an orthopedic surgeon here in Tehama County. I've been here for 8 years. Samuel Webster said in 1777, power, especially overgrown power, whets the ambition and sets all the wits to work to enlarge it. Therefore, encroachments on people's liberties are not generally made all at once, but so gradually as hardly to be perceived by the less watchful. And all plastered over, it may be, with such plausible pretenses, that before they are aware of the snare, they are taken and cannot disentangle themselves. Gentlemen, please, this flu vaccine mandate violates the most basic medical ethic of the freedom to choose, of what happens to your own body. You're pitting people's ability to make a living against their thoughtful and rightful decision of whether or not they want to take a medical treatment. Second of all, this is going to result in economic damages as healthcare workers flee to counties without such tyranny. Number three, this is not based on science, but fear and greed, and it compromises integrity. County leaders need a moral and ethical citizen if civility is to be maintained. This is destructive to integrity, morals, and ethics. Thank you.
So I would like to echo what Mr. Lalaguna said earlier. As far as the decision made to renew Mrs. Mays' contract, Dennis, I'm disappointed, to say the least, in your flip-flop. This issue was discussed by hundreds of people. Her behavior was despicable, condescending, rude, and unhelpful. I have been dealing with this woman and this department now since May, trying to get a simple building through. I can't even get the same answer twice from that department. And when I reminded one of her employees that they worked for me, she threw her hands up in the air, marched off and said, I don't have to deal with this, and then told me I had to talk to Kristen Mays. Now that is not leadership, that is not direction, that's not management. What that is elitist behavior from people who forget that fat contracts to work for the people means they actually have to do their damn job, not run around like little dictators. Now this matter should have been dropped, and then it goes back on calendar and suddenly we have a change of vote. Well, there are consequences for people who do these things. And I am expecting anybody who is not listening to the people who take their time to come in here and speak to you are probably going to take action. So I would recommend that the voices of the people who elect you are taken seriously, because we're getting tired of this nonsense. This is our town too. And we expect you to represent our best interests, being treated poorly by county employees or any public employee. Unacceptable. At least it used to be unacceptable in this county. I expect that to remain the same. Thank you.
Good evening, board. My name is Tom Moeller, and I am still a troublemaker. Probably at least 5 years ago, people from the Tea Party, including me, had said we need to do something about Bill Goodwin. Well, over the years, since that 5 or 6 years, I have realized from going to the board meeting that each and every one of you guys are responsible for our budget also. And that's where part of the problem. It isn't just Bill Goodwin, it's each one of you. Anybody who's lived in the North State for very long knows that with a Democrat running Sacramento, that this is the best it gets. You're not going to save any money. You're not going to have a nest egg of money coming in. And it should have been budgeted in that manner for at least 5 or 6 years. Thank you.
Good evening, board. I was at a meeting with the building department head who someone hired for a position that she's not qualified for. Yet, after the people have spoken, you people have ignored their wishes, which tells me that the problem is not Mr. Goodwin, it's the board of supervisors who, if cannot solve our problems, should be removed themselves, including Mr. Williams, who seems to have an attitude that when he doesn't hear something he doesn't like, he will hammer down his little gavel and dispose of everyone. It's unneeded, unwanted, and unwarranted.
Why you put in his contract that if Goodwin is terminated by the county before expiration of the aforesaid term of employment, and Goodwin is willing and able to perform his duties under this agreement, and if termination is for other than just cause, the county will pay Goodwin a lump sum cash payment and shall be equal to the lesser of 6 months of his salary. So, what the hell? You guys wait. No wonder we don't pay you any money. Don't even ask for any tax money again or anything else. You're not going to get a freaking ass dime out of any of us, I bet. So, you guys whine and cry about all the work you do. It's crap. We'd rather see you not do it. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm tired of bending over for this freaking county so that you guys can have whatever you want. Dennis Garten, why don't you pay back the $630,000 you took on a workman's comp case that you did not get hurt when you were working? You were riding your motorcycle. Why don't you pay that back? Oh, yeah, I remember. You never was a clean cop.
Good evening. My name is Lori, and I work for Social Services in the Eligibility Department. I want to thank the board for agreeing not to cut our pay 3% this year. And I got to ask why we're still working without a contract. I know money is tight. Money is tight for everybody, especially us. We're the most underpaid social services agency in the entire state. That's sad. And yeah, it's hard for us to make ends meet as well. When I, you know, have to explain to people that I can't afford to do things, it's because we don't get paid. And I think it actually shows a lack of respect for the people in the county. You guys act like you're some sort of board on high. This has been going on for years. Every year we have to really fight just to maybe get 2%. 2%. That doesn't even keep up with inflation. And again, it's not all his fault. You guys work as a group. And three of your group is up for re-election, so that might be something you want to think about.
Anyone else?
Hello, board. I listened to the comments tonight, and I've sat through a lot of your board meetings, a lot of them over the years, and I don't ever remember having this problem that goes on and on and on. You people do not listen to us. You don't want to know what we're doing. Every time we mention anything, you look down. You're not interested in it. It isn't what you thought was right. You don't want anything to happen that isn't in your agenda. I wish that you would just pay attention to what the people say and try to make us work us all together. This is not working the way it is. It's not working. And it's been like this a long time. Thank you.
I'm Robert Minch, and assuming that not everybody subscribes to the Daily News, I would like to read you a small excerpt here from my column today called The Passing Parade. Although we often go back in time in this column to the 50s and 60s, let's just go back today 15 years and consider in the ensuing years if the county has improved or declined. This question is very germane now because a group of prominent and concerned citizens who believe the county has declined, and they would like to hold those accountable for saying by recommending to the present Board of Supervisors that the employment contracts of County Administrator Bill Goodwin and the County Planning Department head Kristen Mays not be extended. Like most citizens, I expect these elected and appointed to county office to run affairs of the county without interference. Probably the majority of us do not even attend board meetings and assume the county is being run smoothly and if not profitably due to national events such as lack of presidential leadership, global warming, environmental disasters, floods, fires, and virus-inspired business shutdowns, at least competently. However, county performance or lack of same is now being questioned, and the aforementioned group is demanding change. How will this play out? The group will demand contracts not be extended and even one being canceled. But if they sense the supervisors are not paying attention, they will collect signatures for recall of at least some of the supervisors, those of the male persuasion, I would think. Oddly enough, because the last time we defrocked county supervisors, they were all women. This is serious business, and the group believes local business is suffering because of lack of performance by those in charge of our fair county. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Twyla Alford. I have lived in this county my entire life. I know you all know my daughter. Her name's Carrie Adams. We had the time of our lives with this board. Y'all need to listen, and y'all need to clean out your ears, because I'm telling you, times are getting tough. Our county roads suck to the absolute ultimate. Everybody's tires and cars are showing this. Mr. Garten, can you explain to me why you said today in the minutes of your meeting that you're sick and tired of sitting up there? Then, by God, get out of here. We don't need people like you. We're the bears out here.
here. We're tired of your shit. It's time to step down. Take a recess if you feel you need to, because that's what you guys do every time you don't want to hear something from somebody. But you know what? The community is speaking, and you all better start sharpening your pencils and ours, because you know what? Your pencil belongs to us. It's our money you're spending, and when you give Kristen May and this other man, Goodwin, our community, and allow them to run over the top of us, what in the God's green earth do you think? You know, what is really wrong with you people? All of you. You absolutely are a disgrace to our county. Absolutely a disgrace. And yes, we will recall every last one of you. It isn't if, it's when we get it done. Thank you, and I hope you all step down.
Anyone on the phone, Sean?
Yeah, there's one. So phone number ending in 3118.
Do you need a microphone down there, Sean?
I don't really. 3118.
Hello.
3118. Can they be? Can they? Can you hear?
Yeah, I just heard them.
Hello.
Yeah, it's the volume's low. That's what I can't.
We're working on the volume.
Okay. Hello.
We hear you. Hang on.
Let me check this part first.
Hello.
Hang on, we're adjusting your volume so everybody can hear you.
Try it now.
Hello.
Nope.
Can you hear me, Bob? Can you hear me, supervisor?
We're still working on it, Bob.
We're still working on it. Hang on. Out there?
What if we took put a mic near there? that and just make it echo.
Would it have to be on the microphone? Or?
We were testing it.
You could test it.
Yeah. It's not ported.
Oh, okay.
It might be bad, but it might not.
Apparently, I plugged directly into the system, so that's as good as it gets. But we'll see if we can pick it up on a microphone. Hang on a second, Johnny. John, Pastor Scott is on the microphone too.
Oh well.
I was inside.
That didn't work.
Can you hear me now?
No, I'm not. I guess I'm not getting paid.
That didn't work.
Yeah. Try it now, John.
We're just gonna hold it to the speakerphone.
John, try.
Okay, awesome.
That's good.
Can you hear me? I can hear you good.
That's better.
Yeah, we're just going to do that.
Okay, go ahead, John.
Oh. Hey, thank you, Pastor. You're doing something good for the Lord. Hey, I'm a citizen of Tehama County. I've been going to these meetings for a long, long time. And I'm not there tonight because I do believe this virus is real. But, this is all about Bill Goodwin and what he's doing for our county. So some of these citizens, their first time coming to this thing, and you guys, everyone's got a hard job out there. Just moving the right place, the right money, first thing, priority, we should take and cut bills. If you guys keep them on, you should cut his income and give the sheriff some money. You should give the employees some money, but you gotta find a place to find the money. Now, Bob, you know as well as I do, President Trump passed the farm bill. Cannabis in the form of CBD or hemp is legal for all the farmers in Tehama County that want it, but it's not open for us because you guys make too much money allowing the Mexican cartel to be here. Y'all don't see any Mexican cartel up there speaking Spanish. I don't see them out here in the audience. I see us people that are from Tehama County, born, raised, been here all of our life. So it's kind of sad, but citizens out there, what Jim was saying is straight up real. And so some of us, like Tom, has been coming here for a long, long time. So much so that the pastor, Scott Camp, he has to get tired of praying to God because God's not listening. So, hey, I'd like to see what's going to happen. So I just call him just to listen in and basically say, we know they've been coming for a long, long time. Nothing's going to change. Have a nice day, citizens of Tehama County.
All right, I'm going to close the public comment, and we are going to move on to item number 2 on the agenda. Let me ask, before we get started on this, how many people here would like to get up and address to item number 2 on the agenda?
There may be some people outside as well.
I realize that. We're going to limit it to 5 minutes per speaker, and then anyone who there's some folks waiting outside that would like to speak. So if anyone wants to step outside to allow some of them to come in to speak, please do. All right. So item number 2 is personnel administration. This is the agreement. Request approval and authorization for the chairman to sign an employment agreement with Williams Goodwin for the position of chief administrator effective November 1st, 2020 through April 15th, 2023, and approval of corresponding revisions to the Tehama County master salary schedule. I think you all know why we're here tonight. You all know what the agenda item is. We don't necessarily need to have a presentation by any member of staff. This is Mr. Goodwin's contract. And so at this time, I will open it up. If anyone wishing to speak, remember, we're going to go 5 minutes per speaker, and go right ahead.
Zachary Backus, I'm the president of the Tehama County Deputy Sheriff's Association.
and I realize that this is probably going to fall on deaf ears based on every other time that I've come up and talked to all of you. Bill Goodwin was hired as the county's chief administrative officer back in April of 2005, more than 15 years ago. Since then, Mr. Goodwin has taken stewardship of the county, and that's exactly what he is, a steward of our money, and you are his supervisors. The county has been in a steady state of decline since then. Mr. Goodwin's job is to ensure that the county functions properly and is well-funded. He has failed in these respects. If the county is going to invest $3 million into someone, like has been done with Mr. Goodwin over those last 15 years, we should see the results. As it relates to the Sheriff's Office, during these 10 years, the pay for our deputies is 20% under the average for comparable counties. There are several positions to include animal regulations officers and dispatchers that could make as much working at In-N-Out or Starbucks as they do at our current job. As a result, we only have 56% staffing for our deputy sheriffs and 62% for our dispatchers. The sheriff has made the decision to cut certain services based on the lack of personnel that we can assign to our patrol division. There are times where there are only two deputies on shift in the middle of the night for a county that is 3,000 square miles. Despite this fact, the men and women of this office have not, the men and women of this office who have not left for greener pastures have sacrificed themselves and shown their devotion to this county time and again. In spite of these facts, the county has the audacity to talk about cutting six more positions from the sheriff's office, insinuating that the sheriff's office needs to shoulder some of this burden. However, the sheriff comes in about $1 million under budget every year since he's been in office, and was $2 million under budget last year. A large portion of that comes from salary savings due to unfilled positions within the department. Furthermore, Sheriff Henkrat restructured the sheriff's office when he was first elected, having cut several higher paid captain positions to make room for more line staff. The only times that Mr. Goodwin has sat down with the Deputy Sheriff's Association since I was elected president almost 2 years ago has been an effort to obtain our support for Measure G and one more in a half a dozen negotiation meetings. If he is the intermediary between the Deputy Sheriff's Association and the Board of Supervisors, why doesn't he take a more active role in this process? Last December, the Deputy Sheriff's Association, along with several other employee associations, presented to you with a vote of no confidence in Bill Goodwin. This vote represented the majority opinion of our members, and we still lack confidence in his leadership and vision for this county. This vote was not a snap decision made by the members. This was a decision that was years in the making. It is still the opinion of the Deputy Sheriff's Association that Bill Goodwin's contract should not be renewed. We urge the board to find new leadership to guide us, to guide this county. And I wanted to make one other comment. I stepped out to get water, and then I was denied access back into this chamber. I find that unacceptable. Above that, KRCR was also denied access into this meeting. What is up with that? That's unacceptable. This is an open forum meeting, open to the public and open to the media, so they can know what our citizens are demanding of our elected officials. Thank you.
If the news crews are here and they're being denied access, I think we need to address that now.
They already left.
Continues. Okay, I'm sorry.
The sun out front, right
there. Yeah.
Good evening, Dave Kane, president of the Law Enforcement Management Association. I now only have 5 minutes to try to outline 15 years of Bill Goodwin's inefficiencies, ineffectiveness, lack of leadership and integrity, plus systematic failures to perform satisfactorily the components of his job description. Many concerns have been raised about his questionable practices of using CARES Act money to fill budget gaps, buy and renovate the old courthouse annex, and to pay a lump sum amount to the CalPERS unfunded liability. He fails to maintain a balanced budget and has for several years pointed out that expenditures exceeded revenues. Seems to be a simple fix to me. His only fix, though, was to take money from the employees and suggest a tax increase, which brutally failed. The entire time targeting employees with scare tactics such as 50-plus layoffs, concessions, furloughs, higher contributions to retirement and medical benefits. Is this the way local government is designed to work? Give to them today, levy the employee in the future for the benefit of the county that they serve? Every bargaining unit has been out of contract for at least a year. Lima has been out for almost 2 years, for a second time in 5 years. No raises have been offered to rank and file employees. However, vacant department head contracts have been increased, as well as raises by reclassification by Mr. Goodwin to employees directly under his supervision. These bargaining units have also voted overwhelmingly no confidence in the performance of his duties by Mr. Goodwin. Many issues were highlighted in those grievances. A recent public media release by Mr. Goodwin was proven by audio recordings to be absolutely false. This is a public example of what happens in private regularly. Mr. Goodwin has no credibility with the employees or the community that he's supposed to serve. Mr. Goodwin's prior disciplinary action and a consistent pattern of retaliation and inaccuracies by itself should give this county pause in moving forward. However, the fact that there have been since similar complaints of the same pattern of behavior from employees and citizens alike, the grand jury's current investigation into Mr. Goodwin, and the complaint being filed with the Secretary of State of possible criminal violations should be huge red flags. Any other employee having this type of history or pending allegations will be potentially fired. The county could resolve these issues simply by not renewing Mr. Goodwin's contract, which is what we suggested back in December when we did the vote of no confidence. And here we are again. Keep in mind the vicarious liabilities for failure to supervise, failure to act, and negligent retention will cost this county far more money than replacing Mr. Goodwin. I speculate that most of you have already made up your mind since no efforts have been made to apply the position of CAO. The public and employees have spoken time and time again about the lack of support of Mr. Goodwin. In fact, out of all the meetings I've attended, only a couple people have come forward to support him. With that said, minimum people came forward to support or came forward with issues about the jail expansion, and we've taken years to try to meet the recommendations of a few. I suggest you inversely take the accounts of many and take swift action not to renew Mr. Goodwin's contract. Tell the employees and this public here that their voices matter by finding someone new to guide us out of the county's current dilemma. Don't use the excuse that this is not a good time for a change. If you do, you'll likely never find the right time for a change. However, I believe, and we as Lima believe, that that's exactly what this county needs to prevail, is change. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Gary Dickinson, business representative of Joint Council Local 39. And, April of 2019, Mr. Goodwin publicly announced that the county would be seeking concessions from its employees. And that was 6 months before they even sat down at the bargaining table. For the last year, our membership and all county employees have been living under the fear of taking a 3% pay cut when they didn't need to. Why was the budget not figured out and calculated before you put your membership, your employees, and to fear for their income? We represent members throughout the county and all departments, and the county is currently hemorrhaging employees. Health services, sheriff's department, social services, they all left because of the 3% pay cut. That didn't come to fruition. That was threatened. Years of experience, people have left to go to other areas of the state and surrounding areas, and now they're gone. And there was no reason for it. It's time for the board and Mr. Goodwin to put the citizens and employees of this county first. And if that takes finding a new CEO, then that's what it takes. You need to do it. Thank you.
I'd like to know.
Kathy, pull it down so we can hear you.
I'd like to know whose idea was it to tell the media they couldn't come in here. This is a meeting. This isn't one of your freaking little hearings. In other words, you have to answer questions. Or do not know the concept of a meeting?
I do not know why the media was not allowed in. I can't answer that question.
Okay.
It might have been a head count issue, because it was first come, first served, Kathy. So I
can't understand that concept. Okay. But I mean, it's obvious none of you want to be on the news. I'd also like to know why it is that Goodwin gets $600 a month to run around in a county car. Nobody else does.
That's not in the current contract, Kathy.
You want to make a bet? I've got it right back there by my chair. I'll go get it. Would you like to read it? Or would you like me to read it out loud or have somebody else do it?
You have the current contract?
I do.
I'm not going to argue with you, Kathy.
That's a good idea.
Make your statement.
My statement is, with all the people here, why don't you guys just get the hell out of here? I mean, you're wasting our freaking time because we're sitting here and we're telling you, come on, give it up. You guys have got us in, what my understanding in doing water research is, a $13 million deficit. Not only that, that you've taken out 1.5 million of CalPERS, and yet he gets every freaking thing that he wants. He gets a sore toe. Boy, he can go to the hospital. We'll pay for it. We just paid $155,000 for his law firm to protect him. Enough is enough, especially when we don't have the people. You're not paying to have the law enforcement to protect the people of this community. That's crap. Now I know why Bill Goodwin works here. Nobody let him work anyplace else. And not only that, but the roads and highways, that is a state law. Actually, the superintendent of the roads is supposed to have the money a year prior to the coming year that fixes all the roads. That's state law. Look it up. You don't have a code book? I do. You can borrow it anytime. I'll even read it to you. So I just don't understand. Why are you doing this to the people here in Tehama County? What have we done to you guys? Believe me, we can take you down in a heartbeat. I'll even lead the crowd because you guys don't scare me at all.
Camp. I'm a friend of Bill Goodwin's. For almost 10 years, Bill and I have worked on different projects. Some of them have been related through the Sunrise Rotary Club. Some of them have been government projects, such as working on plans concerning the Homeless Navigation Center. The concerns that I've heard expressed tonight, that I've read in the newspaper, that I heard in meetings before my wife's illness kept me from attending meetings these last 6 months. I am not in a position to say that those people are incorrect or that their concerns are unfounded. But I will say that the experience that I have had with Bill has demonstrated perseverance. It has demonstrated wisdom. He has acted in circumstances that were costly to him in terms of time, and I believe that we were able to get some good projects well on their way, some of which are still pending. I recognize that other people's experiences are different than mine, and I don't have any argument with their willingness nor their opportunity to express those. But I will say that personal character attacks are inappropriate, and that those who make such attacks need to be careful lest they might not incur a stricter judgment on themselves. For those who have criticized Bill's character, I say to you, his character is not the issue. His performance is the issue. I believe he is a person of character. However, he is not an independent agent, as has been said by many of the speakers that have been here. If Bill is exceeding the authority that he has been given and is acting without authority from you five, then you know well it's your responsibility to discipline him. If he is acting improperly or incompetently with authority he has been given then it is your responsibility to discipline him. But I think it's important for those who are upset. Many of them are making threats, and I believe they have the right to do that. But my experience is that when you want people to listen to you, it doesn't do a lot of good to scream and call them names. It's never been very effective in getting my attention. I believe that there are two important projects that are on the imminent horizon. One of them is the Homeless Navigation Center. The other is the jail expansion. I believe that these require experience in this community. I think if you hire an outside administrator to come in who doesn't know the issues, doesn't know the people that are involved, and doesn't have the understanding of the grants that have been given, that those projects may not turn out as well as we would hope or as well as we would deserve. I think that Bill, if he has a contract extension, if you do that, and if you will set down different guidelines, apparently, than have been given in the past, he may be able to operate in a way that is more appropriate than what I'm hearing is being expressed by others. One of the ways to evaluate a person's character is to see how they respond when they are being attacked, whether they're being unfairly attacked or fairly attacked. My experience with Bill is, in spite of many personal and hostile remarks, some of which have been made tonight, others I have read in letters to the editor, others I have seen in meetings when I was able to attend, those character attacks have nothing to do with his competency and don't seem to have, nor should they have, much impact on you. Your job is to oversee the administrator, and I encourage you to do that. But Bill has never, in my personal conversations with him, I have never heard him utter a word of anger, word of disrespect for people who have given him disrespect and anger. He does as good a job as I know of any public servant of being able to follow the example that Peter put down in his letter when he described Jesus. He said, while being reviled, he reviled not back. While being threatened, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. That's good advice for every one of us. Bill will be judged no matter what happens. Thank you for listening.
Hello, my name is Sarah Surgeon. I work for IHSS. I take care of four elderly and disabled. So, sir, at some point, guess what? You're going to have me knocking at your door taking care of you. So, Mr. Goodwin, in all of his infinite wisdom, has decided that he can't even sign a mutual respect agreement with me. I'm on the bargaining team. I've been there for 4 years. I have waited. Can't he give me respect? So let's start there, because I take care of these people. I have to work 66-hour weeks in order to pay my bills, because somebody that gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, just whenever somebody decides to fall or get hurt, guess what? It's me. It's not the police, and God bless them, they deserve a lot more than they're getting. Or our sheriffs, or any of our public figures. It's us. It falls on us, minimum wage workers. So here I am, single mom. Not only am I a licensed CNA, I'm an IHSS worker for disabled and mentally ill and elderly. I also now have the job of being a teacher. I don't have a degree. And I still make $13 an hour. But you know what? I go to work every single day and I tell them how much I love them. And you know, sometimes it's that only one person that goes in and says, I love you. I need you and I'm glad you're here. Because some of these people live by themselves without nobody. But $13 an hour, because I have a giving heart and caring self, and I can't imagine any one of you, I challenge any one of you to do the 12-hour days that I do at any time. So these people need contracts, and Bill Goodwin refused to give me a mutual respect agreement. I'm sorry, but you know what? If I give you mutual respect and I'm wiping your mom's butt, I deserve the same. Thank you.
Good evening, board members. I trust that probably all of you and a lot of the folks here today remember who I am. I'm Arthur Wylene. I'm the former county council here, and I'm still a taxpayer in Tehama County. I worked with Bill Goodwin for 13 years, and I'd like to express my respect and support for him. You know, in my new position, I've had an opportunity to get some perspective on both how people statewide think of Bill, and I will say he is thought of very, very highly statewide, amongst other administrators and people who work for county and city associations, but also in terms of some of the issues that other counties have, and it turns out that they're not that dissimilar from the issues that we have here. Economic downturn is common in rural counties. Underpaid employees are common in rural counties. What I have noticed is different is that not all chief administrators react the same way. One of the reasons that Bill is one of the longest serving chief administrators, if not the longest, is because in my experience, and I did work with him for a very, very long time, he makes every decision, at least the ones I've seen, with the understanding that he's going to have to live with it the next day. Unlike some other counties who, in times that are flush or maybe not so flush, tell people what they want to hear, don't make tough recommendations, Bill does that because he knows that if he tells folks what they want to hear, encourages them to do something that is improvident, he will have to clean it up the next day. That's rare. That's why Bill has been here for a long time, through good times and bad times, some controversial times that, frankly, if you go back far enough, were every bit as tough as they are today, but because Bill has been looking forward. Now, those are things that oftentimes will make people upset, and understandably so. And that brings me to my other point, which is that ultimately, and I think I'm going to surprise myself by agreeing with both Larry LaLaguna and Tom Moeller up here, but this isn't as much about Bill as it is about you, the board. Not so much in terms, as others have put it here, in terms of blame, but because you know a lot of things that others don't. You're in closed sessions, you hear what goes on in bargaining and negotiations, you know the recommendations that are made, the decisions that are made, things that you can't share publicly. You're in a position to judge Bill's input, Bill's character, Bill's approach, in ways that others can't. When it comes to supervising department heads, I've heard complaints about that as well in some of the prior meetings. You know, Bill doesn't supervise folks well. Well, you know, when you're supervising individuals, you really can't talk about that publicly. That really wouldn't be appropriate. You know, you the board, you're in the closed sessions, you talk to him, both in meetings and outside of meetings. You know, I'm reminded of something that Pastor Scott once said many years ago during another controversial meeting. I don't even remember what it was about. You know, he said that just as it is the people's responsibility to speak truth to power, it is the responsibility of those who are in power, who have knowledge, who have been elected and entrusted. Sometimes you need to look to the people and say, you know, we know things that you don't. We spend more time doing this than you do. You need to trust us. This is the right decision. And I do believe that the right decision is to extend Bill Goodwin's contract, and I extend him my support. Thank you.
Good evening, board. Leticia here. For those that don't know me, I'm a union rep for home care workers here in Tehama County and across the region. Talking about contracts here, home care workers have been working under an expired contract for 8 years. What makes his contract better than our contract? What are the people doing differently that he's not doing? They're taking care of people. Your people, people that voted for you guys to be here to make the wise decisions. And I know that I may not be, you know, a big person to you, and I may not deserve your respect, but I respect the community that I live in, and I respect the people's choices and the decisions. And you have, not 100 people are gonna tell the same lie. Everybody's seeing the same thing. And they want change, and they want you guys to make the change. And if you can't make the change, you need to get out those seats.
Since I've been to one of these meetings, but I did
want to
come by because this one seems a little important.
Tony, pick that up just a little bit. There you go. There
How's
you
that?
That's good.
So, I'm here to talk about Bill's contract. I'm really glad, actually, Scott and this gentleman got up and talked about how, hey, this may not be Bill's fault. It's a really good point. There are two groups involved in the atrocities that occur in our county. There is the board, and there is Bill. So which group do we blame? You can choose to fire Bill and scapegoat your administrator you appointed, or you can choose to resign. Both are pretty appropriate choices, I think. And we can see where the fallout lies and where we're at after. But you guys sit here and you cut our sheriff's positions. You cut our workers' pay so when they go home, they don't have enough. You all look quite comfortable. Why do you make the people in this county suffer? And then why do you defend your poor decisions? You can answer anytime you like. Done? Okay. That's about all I've got. There's recall campaigns sitting outside for you guys, and I am absolutely pumped about them. I find it really frustrating that to help deal with the issues in this county, I had to run for city council myself and take time away from my life and my business and what I'm trying to do. But I did it because it's the right thing, and someone needs to run a campaign on honesty. And someone needs to make changes, and someone needs to dethrone the people in charge, the administrators, toward all of it. This is absolutely ridiculous. Which of these citizens behind me would you sacrifice to continue making the poor decisions that you're making? Can you please point just one out? If you can't, then stop doing what you're doing. Cut the contract. Resign. No one wants you here anymore.
And then I'm reading for someone who cannot be at the meeting this evening. So, good evening. Bill Goodwin, as CAO, has failed to perform his duties. So I don't recommend that his contract be renewed. I didn't really understand who Mr. Wylene was talking about, because that's not the same Bill Goodwin that I know. He has not properly evaluated his employees as evidenced by the fact that the planning and interim building director have been the cause of many complaints. When 20 or 30 people show up at a board meeting and complain, there is a reason. It's not just a style difference or a bad day, Mr. Williams. Employee evaluation and discipline is part of his job, and this week you had to do it because he didn't. Mr. Goodwin has failed to offer a budget without a gap again. There was also the overwhelming vote of no confidence. Many voices have risen together and spoken, yet this board refuses Mr. Garten to listen and represent us, and it hasn't been 5 minutes. This board authorized a contract for Kristen Mays over the overwhelming input from the public requesting that her contract not be renewed. It is sad that three men in this county are making decisions for the majority. This is from Kendall Matheson. My wife Nicole and I own Java Lanes, the bowling alley family entertainment center in Corning. We purchased this business from the Martini family in 2014 and have continued in the tradition of providing affordable family entertainment to the residents of Tehama County that began in 1960s. This mom-and-pop business has been generating tax revenue for the state of California and Tehama County for over half a century. You're welcome. since March 18th, except for a brief attempt at getting by on to-go food orders and the short four-week reopening tease in the late spring, we have been closed down. We can't afford to operate in any scenario that doesn't include indoor activities. Like many true small businesses, we missed out on the initial round of small business relief. The CARES Act money that this county is receiving, which was intended for COVID-19 related spending, is blatantly being misused. Balancing previous budgets and allocating these funds to purchase the courthouse annex is a slap in the face to all small businesses in this county who are struggling to survive. It is perfectly clear that this board has a history of and no qualms about misappropriating funds as they sit in those cushy chairs Tuesday mornings in that very nice building built with tobacco money. The board is using the same formula with the blatant actions of indefinitely exploring countywide COVID-related enforcement, knowing it will ensure a monthly CARES Act check. A few months ago, when the board meeting was crowded with a largely anti-enforcement crowd, Supervisor Williams spoke about not caring about the money and wanting the state to leave us the hell alone. Refusing the money is certainly an option, but it's clear not one that has been seriously considered. So if you're gonna accept funds, spend them appropriately this time. Help the small business community enact real measures that will slow the spread of COVID in our country, county, and move us toward less restrictive stages and toward normalcy. Do your jobs. This behavior is akin to the check getters that some of these parts have real problems with. You are buying big screen TVs with your COVID money rather than feeding your kids. In regards to the contract, Mr. Goodwin, it isn't clear to the general public who is pulling the strings, whether the board directs him or he steers policy in a particular direction. Regardless of who is ultimately responsible when it comes to these terrible decisions, refusing to renew his contract would eliminate at least part of the problem. We are in the midst of a once-in-a-century health and economic crisis simultaneously, and the citizens of this country deserve a board of supervisors and a chief administrator who are willing to address these serious issues and use funding appropriately. We need help, not an old building. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I am Liz Merry. Wow, Arthur Wyman's here, the author of the famous Ordinance 2040, which has lost the county millions of dollars and hundreds of homeowners their properties. Nice to see you in the flesh. I am going to read this statement that was mailed to me by Red Bluff City Councilwoman Jonna Jones, because she couldn't be here because, coinky dink, they're meeting tonight too. And she says, "This message is in no way a representation of the opinions of my fellow council members. It is solely on my own behalf and out of concern for our county and the professionalism I expect from its representatives. Thank you for allowing Mrs. Merry to deliver my sentiments as I am currently engaged in a city council meeting."
Can you step back a little bit from the mic?
I'm too loud. I'm sorry. Blowing your ears out. Sorry. Many people today are going to tell you how incompetent Mr. Goodwin is, how he has a duty to spend public monies in a fiscally responsible manner. While all of this is true, I don't believe this is your only long-term issue where Mr. Goodwin is concerned. Mr. Goodwin's conduct is unprofessional at the very least. I have been the subject of, and in the presence of others, when they have been the subject of his intimidation and manipulation tactics. I will admit from my experience, it doesn't matter if the person in question is his subordinate or his superior. On numerous occasions, I've had women turn to me after Mr. Goodwin left the room, let out a deep sigh, and release one or more of the following phrases. "I hate that he treats me that way. He makes me so uncomfortable, but the fallout to complain isn't worth it. I know even I deserve more respect. I hate being in the same room with him. He stared at me the whole time," close quotes. How long is it going to take before there is a lawsuit from another employee or member of the public? I won't sit and bite my tongue anymore while I watch his slights and his abuse of power. I can no longer simply assume his conduct has been brought to your attention. If I must be the one to bring light, then so be it. I can only hope you're listening. Thank you so much, Jonna Jones. And I have just a couple of things to add. Bill, as I have stated before, has always been very friendly and professional with me. Like Pastor Scott said, it is nothing personal. I happen to be reading John C. Maxwell's book right now called Developing the Leader Within You. And right off the bat, in the first chapter, he talks about the difference between a leader and a boss. And he says, and I feel like this is true, a leader is simply someone who influences others. Now, a boss is someone who gives orders, often getting things done through fear and intimidation, but not by inspiring others. I think maybe Ms. Mays and Mr. Goodwin are bosses and not leaders, and I think maybe you all should think about that. Whom are you inspiring? Are you just barking out stuff, or are you inspiring people to follow you and listening to your constituents who showed up in force tonight? So just something to think about, and thanks for bringing us all to this big space. We all appreciate the chance to be heard.
Anyone else from the audience? Anyone on the phone, Sean? Oh, gosh. Shall we try this again?
Do you want to take
it? Okay, great.
Hello, board. Most of you know who I am. I'm Clayton Raposa. I represent the in-home healthcare workers in this county. I know we've spoken every time. Actually, every time we talk about this subject, there's more and more people behind me. I would figure that you guys would notice that if you were too busy looking down or looking at your phones or falling asleep, pretty much being the worst board I've seen. Looking off into space, you don't care that the chief administrator has mismanaged the county and given you bad advice for 10 or more years. You just leave it as it is, and we just keep deficit spending, and you keep wondering why our county keeps falling to pieces and people keep getting mad. You need to hire better managers. Only so many people can walk up here and tell you that. It doesn't take a genius to figure out when hundreds of people are telling you the same thing. Maybe you should listen to them, guys. It's about time to listen to people. It's about time. Get sick of talking to you guys about this same issue. Love to do something else. So, think about it. Because I'm just going to keep bringing more and more people. Thanks.
Thank you. You want to try it, Sean? Okay.
Board. My name is Julie Cisneros, and I've been retired over a year now from the County Office of County Administration, and I can't say I miss it, especially sitting in here listening to all this. I feel for you. But I wanted to come here today and express support for you and for Bill. I worked with Bill for 14 years, I believe, and with you folks, and on the front lines, you know, seeing what you do, seeing what he does, seeing the blood, sweat, and tears, seeing the not enough money. You can't get blood from a turnip, and it is very, very difficult. It's the hardest thing in the world to take the amount of money that the county of Tehama has and divide it up in the best manner that you can, trying to meet all the needs, and we can never meet all the needs. And it's also the hardest thing in the world to have to tell people no, or have to take money from here to pay for that. And in our work in administration and as the board, that's kind of what you're forced to do. And you're having to tell people no, and nobody wants to hear that. And I know that all of you would, it'd be the most fantastic thing in the world to have a big general fund, and you could pay these people what they should be paid. And you know they're underpaid, we know they're underpaid, and it would be fantastic to have employees that were paid for how hard they work, because we all know County of Tehama employees, they're tough, and they work so hard, and they try so hard, and they try to do the best thing for their community. And I wish we could pay them more. But just because you have to tell people no, and you have to make these decisions that are so tough, it doesn't mean people aren't doing their job. Bill, as I said, has been such a hard worker in the time that I worked with him. Blood, sweat, and tears, like I said. And I'm not sure that not renewing his contract is the right thing to do, especially at this time. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Again, I'll just respect you, Pastor. I understand you may have a good relationship. I'll just begin to work on that. I didn't hear you. But the problem is that your employees are not turnips. They deserve a raise, not to constantly give you back money because you, the board, whether it's Mr. Goodwin, you ultimately are the ones responsible for not taking care of your employees. And again, I will ask you that since this county seems to be such in financial trouble all the time, it's time to have a forensic audit of this county and find out where in the hell the money is going.
For Tehama County Public Works. I'm up here because of the Sheriff's Department. And when I heard that they were trying to get an initiative on the ballot to help with their negotiations because they were going to have to do cutbacks, that really affected me, and I felt a need to help get signatures on the petition. And I had a chance to talk to a lot of nice residents of the county, and I had one older couple that were very kind, and they recommended that maybe there be a special tax for the Sheriff's Department, perhaps something similar to what Bill you had proposed for employees to, or not employees, but for the citizens to vote for employee wages, but a tax just for the Sheriff's Department, a quarter cent, half cent, something that will help them. That money doesn't go anywhere else. As a citizen of this county, I don't want to be responsible for when somebody's in my neighborhood breaking into my home or my neighbor's home. If I have to call somebody and the sheriff can't respond, it's not going to be fun. So anyhow, thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Try to figure out just how dumb I am. I realize I don't know what the program is. Are you guys voting tonight? Will you have another session later? Will there be comments from the five of you? Rich, I don't know whether you would be making comments or not, but will you be openly discussing pros and cons, or will you merely have a motion and a second and a vote. How will this go?
Pastor, I'll answer the question. When we're done with public comments on this, bring it back to the board for discussion and possible action. So, yes.
Good evening, board. So I've watched the board throughout the last year or so, and I know that the board has a tough job, and that you guys, in all honesty, I appreciate you calling this meeting, allowing the public to talk. Regardless of what you do, there are consequences either way. But I want to remind you all of something. If you'll just do this for me, remember back when you were first elected, or when you first took public office, and you stood up and you took your oath. Do you recall that? There are some very important words in that oath. One is that you will bear true faith and allegiance, and that you do it without any mental reservation. That you will support and defend the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the State of California. Go back to how you felt the day and the excitement I know that you experienced, because I've experienced it, when you first took that oath. And remember who you are and who you've become. Because what you were that day is really not what you are today. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you tonight. I actually have been to a few board meetings, and it's been said that, you know, you're looking down and so on. I just want to let you know, I've been watching you. You've been attentive to us, and I appreciate that very much. What comes to my mind in listening to everything is, if we knew that you were listening, if we knew that the information that is being negotiated was truly getting back to you, I think that would help us in a long way. How about thinking outside the box? How about instead of a raise, some other concession is made, some other true negotiation, and that's what negotiations are. What we're giving, what can you give? But when we have said in a meeting, hey, we can negotiate these positions that aren't being filled, they're being blown, they're not being filled. If we take those positions off, and the money that would be used for those positions be given raises for the employees that we have, over the next X number of years, and the money isn't out because it's already being budgeted. That's thinking outside the box. And it came back that our understanding is that was a no-go. It's thinking outside the box. It's not using money that's not already there and budgeted and actually just sitting there. If we can do those kind of true negotiations, that's what we need. That's what we need you to know is being offered and out there. And I think things like that, we as employees could stand behind, because it's a true negotiation. It's a true give and take. It's thinking all the way around the issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey,
Sean, give another go.
Nope. Hi, board. My name's Carrie Adams. I'm not sure if any of you would recognize my face because I don't think any of us have met aside from Candy. I worked in the building department from 2014 until June 30th this year when you guys voted yes to end my position during the reclassification that Kristen Mays presented to you. You've heard my mother already this evening, and I just want to read a little bit of the letter that I wrote to all of you and sent for these guys, more or less, because I know you've already made the decision tonight, most likely. So, my name is Carrie Adams. I'm a sixth generation Northern California resident. I'm born and raised in Tehama County, and I was very proud to work for Tehama County. I fear that what the general public and the Board of Supervisors are told is always a version of the story that best suits the storyteller. The building department's file you received from John Stover and I prior to John's retirement in March regarding the building department's fee schedule and fee study was supposed to be for informational purposes only. Unless there have been modifications made to the file that I took part in creating, it is in no way 85% complete, as was stated by Bill Goodwin during a recent board meeting. Because of the reorganizations, the shifts in the workload, the changes within the staffing, the reclassifications, it's not only inaccurate, but it's totally incomplete. It would totally fail if it was audited. Most of those figures that we put together were best guesses based on what we normally spend time on in the office. It goes into plan review, the time that we spent with the public, and it was based, those fees are strictly based on the amount of time we spend doing the essential functions of our jobs. So if the department, now that the department has been totally reclassified, reorganized, those positions have changed, the job descriptions have changed, therefore that fee study is completely inaccurate. Board, if each one of you didn't have our way of life and our community and our neighbors in your best interests, there's no way you could do what you do with the criticism. I know that. I wish there were more opportunities for county employees to speak to you directly, but we shouldn't have to. There are times when employees do their best and they lose their job, or don't do their best and they lose their job, rightfully so. That wasn't the case for me. After nearly 7 years of service, I received a letter sent to USPS after I was on the phone 2 days prior with personnel and Kristen Mays. The letter was dated 10 days prior. I was not told on the phone that I was losing my job. I was given a letter in the mail. My duties were supposedly shifted to the planning department's administrative secretary. She hadn't passed the probationary period for the position yet. I actually never met her. There's no way there was cross-training happening. There's gonna be a huge amount of oversight. Lastly, most importantly, listen to what these citizens, former staff, and many others have said, current staff. We don't want these leaders. They forgot somewhere along the line about the oath of public service that they swore when they accepted the honor of being appointed leaders of this great county, as did you. Thank you for serving our community. Thank you for your time.
Right again, Sean.
Okay. We'll try it through the phone, and if it doesn't work, I'll use the microphone again. Phone number ending in 4400.
44 what?
00.
4400.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
It's still pretty low, hold on.
This is unacceptable. This needs to get fixed. This is an open forum for our people in our
Hello.
You guys need
need to get this fixed.
Ma'am, they're working on it, please.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, hello.
You can hear.
Yes, we can hear you.
Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me. I'm watching you.
Yeah. We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hi. Hello. My name is Sharon Crawford. I have a doctor of management, and I'm a certified project management professional. One of the classes I teach for CSU TICO is human resource management. I mention this because it's relevant to my comments I'm about to make. First, let me just say that the board should have figured out that renewing Mr. Goodwin's contract was not in the best interest of the county, based on prior feedback and events leading to today. Human resource matters such as this, should be handled privately, without this public spectacle. Why on earth are we being forced to do this? This is embarrassing. It will probably make for great news on TV tonight, but this should not happen. This would never happen in the business world. You don't renew contracts unless the performance is excellent. You do not renew employment contracts absent a public search for alternative candidates unless the performance is even better than excellent. Those criteria have not been met here. It does not matter how hard the person works. It does not matter if the board is afraid of change. This should not be occurring. Secondly, and this is where the HR part comes into play, a person without the respect and trust of peers and subordinates cannot lead. This hearing and everything that has led up to this point demonstrates that Mr. Goodwin does not have that trust and respect. How often do this many people email, write letters, and show up to speak against a single employment contract? Tehama County employees risked retaliation and voted no confidence in Mr. Goodwin. This is practically unheard of. I'll provide one example that I personally am aware of to illustrate my point. When the budget was being developed several months ago, I called Mr. Goodwin because he mentioned in board meetings that he was looking for ways to address the budget shortfall. I suggested to Mr. Goodwin that centralizing HR and information technology IT would be great examples to provide more capability at less cost. It's how every other business handled HR and IT because it's the most effective way to handle it. Mr. Goodwin told me that he could not make that happen because the department heads would not allow it. After some discussion, it was apparent to me that Mr. Goodwin lacked the skills, trust, and credibility with his staff to fix fundamental issues like this. It's not personal. I don't dislike Mr. Goodwin. It's about effectiveness. And without the trust of those staff, he cannot lead them.
I cannot understand what she's saying.
I'm getting a lot of feedback. I'd like to ask what happened with the small business loan money that should have been funded with COVID money. My understanding is that was absorbed into the budget. That should not have happened. I also implored the Board of Supervisors to conduct a search for candidates. They declined. It's pretty standard in government service for candidates to compete for their contract at renewal. I did it for 30 years. But this county has decided to give Mr. Goodwin a sole source contract without looking for alternative employees, for what, 15 years now? That does not make sense. Supervisors, the message has been loud and clear that your citizens do not want this contract renewed. The fact that the contract is even under consideration for renewal is one of the worst cases of escalation of commitment I have ever seen in my 30 years of business. A vote for this contract is against the citizens of Tehama County. And if this goes forward, perhaps it's time to remove the supervisors who are tired of listening to us. It's time for change. We need to break up the good old boys voting block, and the Tehama County Board of Supervisors are nothing to change. Thank you.
Okay, I don't have anybody else on the phones.
What's the number?
I don't have anybody else on the phones.
Anybody else? Okay. Any other member of the public wish to address the board? Seeing none, I will close the public comment portion of this agenda and bring it back to the board for discussion. Councilor Burke.
Do we have something now? No, let's get them. There's one more person's called.
Oh, we got one more person on the phone. Okay.
Okay, so it's a phone number ending in 4760. We'll try the audio system one more time, but I'm thinking it's probably not going to work, and I'll use the microphone. Okay, 4760.
4760.
Yeah, they're unmuted.
The
phone number ending in 4760, you're on the line.
4760,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, you can?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm a resident of Cedar County. I've been a resident for over 50 years, and I'm not only calling as an ex-employee of the County of Tehama and the court. I worked for the court when it was affiliated with the county, and also after the court consolidated and became a state entity. I worked directly with the administration building and all the folks there from 1999 until 2015. I also have a pool business in town that's been shut down March 15th. And that is a business that's been in this town since 1964, and that would be Tiff's Bar. I'm having some issues with this. I know that the courts, when I was there, and I was in HR at the court, I worked with all of the judges directly. I was the assistant CEO's right arm. And I can tell you that in 2011, we took major cuts. And the county was not taking major cuts. The employees were not taking major cuts right after the recession. The money was flowing. We were taking massive cuts. Also, I would like to state to anybody that's there that can hear me that that old courthouse building, the annex building, is not a decent building. And you guys had the opportunity to purchase that. When we moved to a new courthouse in 2016-17. So that court, that annex building, leaks water all the time. The windows are single pane. The carpet is thrashed. We had trouble with the elevator all the time. We had the state maintenance contract people out there all the time. I don't know how much money you guys are thinking about putting into this building, but it's a crap building, and you didn't want it back then. So, not really sure what that's about. As a business owner, I can tell you I'm pretty upset about how you're spending these funds. We have 6 employees, and they literally are bleeding right now. And we aren't doing much better. I know Mr. Goodwin. I work with Mr. Goodwin. I know a few of you on the board. I worked with the Sheriff's Department a lot in the DA's office. I worked with Arthur Lean. And I'm just going to tell you right now that I don't believe you should renew this contract. I honestly think that you need to be listening to your constituents. There's too many of us. And you guys really need to bring up the good old boy system, because we're going to break it up with you. We really are. We're getting real tired. The citizens of this county are really tired. I've been in the good old boy system for years. I watched it firsthand for a long time. And I can tell you right now, I know exactly what's going down here. And I'm pushed back if you do this. I'm going to push back with as many people I can get on board with me. So I would respectfully request that you deny his contract and you fly that position. And you get somebody in there that can do the job right, because he has mismanaged the funds of that, of our county, for years now. 4 years. So I'm respectfully requesting that, and I wouldn't be purchasing that building if I was you, because you're going to spend a lot more money in it, and we deserve that money as small business owners. That's what that CARES Act is for. We didn't get the first, round of loans either. And we obviously are getting a stimulus package at this point. Now we're in the purple again.
We are a small farm. We are not going to open an investment in this town. I don't care that some of these people are not wearing masks and that's what they think. We are responsible citizens of Kahina County. And we are not going to open our bar just because other bars are open. And they're talking about their constitutional, we have a constitutional right to. We have a right to have our business open. We have a right to our health. We have a right to be, you know, those of us that believe in science have a right to not have this be happening. So I am twofold here. I'm an ex-employee, thought from the inside, way up high, and I also have a business. And I do not have any confidence in Bill Goodwin whatsoever. So I would just like to appreciate you listening to me. I'm sorry if I'm, my reflection is anger, but I am pretty angered right now, especially as a business owner. So thank you very much.
Okay, there's nobody else on the phone.
Nobody else on the phone. Okay. And once again, I'm going to close the public comment and bring it back to the room. I mean, you got somebody on the phone.
Yeah, every time I say it, I try to wait a minute, but there's another one, so hold on.
Okay.
Phone number ending in 3118.
Sorry, Sean, I did not hear the number.
Hello, board.
3118.
Hello, board. Hello, board.
Hello, John.
This is John Prince. Whoever that lady was, I agree with her 100%. But I want everybody to understand that Kahima County has a lot of low-income disabled adults that need help getting off of the opiates that everybody hears about all over the place. I, a citizen of Kahima County, worked at Simpson Paper for 10 years. Everybody knows where that mill is. It got shut down because of the spotted owl. That's why we're having fires, because we're not cleaning our floors. Everything from California is mismanaged. I seen Sacramento right there talking to Kahima County, but he didn't look like Sacramento. He looked like Kahima County citizen, and that would be Arthur Wyman, the old attorney for the county of Kahima. Citizens, this is all I'm going to tell you. Johnny Cash, his last song, called Hurt. Google it, because we're hurting. And when we all die, all we have is just our dirt. And so our dirt in Kahima County is worth more than gold. I've been here, my mom, my dad, my brother are buried in this dirt, and I'm not leaving this place. We'll see it change first. So do the right thing, Bob, Steve, Dennis, Bert, and Candy. And I salute you for having a tough job. It's hard to fire somebody, but just listen. We got a president that loves to fire people. Dennis, you had to fire people. Steve, you had to fire people. Bob, you fired people. Everybody's been fired when you don't do your duty. Have a nice night, citizens.
Thank you. Okay, I don't have any other callers.
You good? You know, nobody?
Nobody else.
Okay, I'm going to try it again. I'll bring it back to board. Okay? We're done. First of all, I want to thank you all for coming tonight. It's been a challenge. The acoustics in this room, I understand, are not the greatest. Our phone system did not work like I had hoped that it worked. And that our, I know that our staff has been working on trying to do it, and I appreciate their efforts. I'm going to start off the discussion by saying that I've worked with Bill Goodwin now going on 14 years. Is he perfect? No. Does he make mistakes? We all do. Does he learn from his mistakes is the most important thing. And I can say with confidence, yes, he does. Thank you. I listen to you without the comments. Please provide me the same courtesy. Thank you. A lot of this has been brought up, and I've spoken before at the board meetings in regards to the budget process. Mr. Goodwin gets blamed for the budget process, but I want to go through the process for you so you all understand. Every year, Mr. Goodwin and the auditor meet with the department heads individually. The department heads put together their own budgets. They come in, they meet with Mr. Goodwin and the auditor as far as how much they used last year, how much revenue they received last year, and how much they anticipate they're going to need, and how much they're going to receive in the following year. Those discussions happen with each and every department head individually. Then the auditor, Mr. Goodwin, and his staff meet with two members of the Board of Supervisors, the Budget Ad Hoc Committee. Everyone you see up here sitting up here on the dais, every supervisor, has served at least 2 years on a Budget Ad Hoc Committee. Those recommendations, those discussions that the Chief Administrator and the department heads have had are brought forward to the Budget Ad Hoc and hashed out even more. We have a system in Tenema County where we've always been very conservative. And we have an auditor that, by law, he can't enter monies into the budget that he hasn't received yet. We had that issue this year. We had late reporting of revenues come in that we didn't know were even going to come in. They came in at the last minute. But yet, we have to present a budget to the public before those monies are even in. And we did. And the only assumption that we can make without having the money in our hands is that the money's not going to come in. Now, fortunately, this year, we got the Band-Aid, if you will, that was the COVID relief money. And that was going to be able to help us out. But then late in the process, we received from departments approximately $1.4 million, if I'm remembering right, in funding that we didn't know was coming when we did the recommended budget. Now, if you've got a shortfall like that and you don't know that you're going to get relief from the state and the federal government in COVID, you got to make adjustments. The decision to make the recommendation to look at a 3% give back, if you will, was not made solely by Mr. Goodwin. It was made by this board. The statement was made earlier that a lot happens behind the scenes at the board that the public doesn't know about. There's a lot of things discussed in closed session that you'll never know about. There's a lot of tough decisions that are made by this board of supervisors that we don't like making, but we have to. Our primary responsibility to the taxpayers in this county is a fiduciary responsibility. We cannot spend money that we do not have. And we have to make adjustments within the budget based on what we know we have in hand. If it comes in later and we don't have to make those adjustments like we did this year, we can take that stuff off the table. But it is not Mr. Goodwin's decision unilaterally to make those decisions. Yet, he takes the blame for it because he is the one that has to enforce the policies brought forth by the members of the Board of Supervisors. Bill has always been someone who has followed direction. He has offered suggestions and gotten direction from the Board of Supervisors, and not just the five of us sitting here, but every Board of Supervisors that's ever served in here when he's been County Administrator. He has followed the direction of the Board of Supervisors. He hasn't wavered. He may not like the direction that the Board of Supervisors gives him, yet he follows it. He understands his role as a County Administrator, and he acts accordingly. We are currently working, each of us and numerous department heads, on a 3 to 5 year plan, because we know that we need to make adjustments. We cannot continue to operate the way that we've been operating. We've been fortunate the last few years. There's always been something at the last minute that's come and helped us out. We're getting the budget process refined down to a more realistic budget process. We've been working on that for several years. And now we're looking, because, right honest with you, 2008, when the real estate market crashed, this county lost $1 billion in property tax revenue, property tax value, I should say. And it's taken until just recently to get that back. That's $1.87 million lost to the general fund. At the same time, the state decided that they were not going to pay the Williamson Act subvention funds anymore. That's another $1 million, $940,000 annually. Multiply that by 12 years. See what number you come up with. We've had to make those adjustments, and we've had to make some tough decisions. But that's what we're here for. And we make the decisions, we provide the policy, and Mr. Goodwin is in charge of enforcing that policy, acting on that policy. And he is, like I said before, he has never wavered. He has never gone behind the board's back and done something that wasn't directed by the Board of Supervisors. That being said, when it comes time, if there is a motion to approve this contract, I will happily vote yes on Mr. Goodwin's contract. Thank you.
You should resign. Your direction is following. You should resign. You know that.
Who else?
First off, I have to thank Phil Johnson for reminding me of my oath. I'm very proud that I work and serve this community. And every day that I come into the Board of Supervisors, I am proud that I represent my district. And as such, the decisions that I have made from the dais are my decisions. They're not influenced by other people. They're not influenced by special groups. Do I like making those decisions? Some of them, no. But my job, as Bob just stated, is to keep this county running in a way of life that I have enjoyed for almost 50 years. I've raised my family and my grandkids here, and I want it to continue a somewhat rural community. In regards to Mr. Goodwin and the auditor, they brought to us a 3% request from concessions from all employees, partly because of the PERS unfunded liability. And every one of the county employees is in a PERS retirement fund, and if we don't fund it, then they lose their retirement. There is nothing fun about where we're at right now. There's nothing enjoyable on some of these decisions. I was sworn in to the District 3 position of the Board of Supervisors January 2011. From that until present, I strive to make decisions that would benefit the whole county, not just District 3 or special interest groups. The way I make my decisions has not changed today. A few weeks ago, a former Red Bluff City Councilman and I had a conversation in a local grocery store parking lot. His parting statement was, "You cannot make everyone happy. You must make the best decision at the time based on the information available for the county as a whole." I have sat here in this chambers, I've sat in the board chambers, and I've heard the comments of the community about the state of the county and Mr. Bill Goodwin. Not one of you has come up with a suggestion that does not cost the general fund. I have listened to talk about how Mr. Goodwin is killing the county and about the budget woes because of him, which is not true, as which Mr. Williams just stated. All of those decisions were made by either one or three or five of the people of this board giving him direction. Currently, the day-to-day responsibility of the department head, and right now there are 27 individual departments within the county structure, some with very few employees, some with hundreds, which are funded when the final budget is presented by the auditor. When a department is unable to fill or chooses not to fill a vacancy at fiscal year end, those funds become fund balance carryover. Our departments have the authority to spend those approved funds on salary and benefits, but cannot encumber it for anything else or to save those funds. Mr. Goodwin presented to this board in 2016 that the next few years would look like. He has constantly discussed how the PERS unfunded liability would take a huge chunk of our budget and cause issues in upcoming years. He worked with budget ad hocs, the auditor, and all the department heads over the last several years to produce a lean budget. Every single one of us has served multiple years on the budget ad hoc committee, and so I and we are aware of the road that we are headed down. If fiscal management of the county and the implication that the state of the county rests solely on Mr. Goodwin are not true, this is an interactive process involving the chief administrator, the auditor, the department heads, the budget ad hoc, and the board of supervisors who ultimately approves the budget. In fact, if the budget was a sole authority and responsible of one person, those decisions could be made very easily and achieve a balanced budget. But the political reality is quite different. Despite comments about the good old boys, we have a diverse, intelligent, and thoughtful board who answer to the constituents of the county and the county departments with very different and competing interests for the limited general fund dollars available. On the 22nd, at a board meeting, a comment was made that it is better to live with the devil than the one you know or the one you don't know. The gentleman that made that comment was talking to me, and I'm the one that made that statement. to him over the phone. Do I agree with all the decisions and comments made by Mr. Goodwin? No. Could things have been done different or better? Possibly. Would the outcome been different? That's the good question. The PERS unfunded liability would not be different. The need for the navigation center and the homeless shelter would not be different. The location might have been different, but at the time of the grant application, the Vista location was the best. Also, others have brought up the fact that Mr. Goodwin does not live in Tehama County. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the mid-70s that residential requirements were unconstitutional and could not be required from anyone except elected officials. As to your statements about the core annex building and the county purchasing it from the state, that decision was made by the full board when the General Services Office offered it to the county, not lately. It was about 2 years ago. The comment of making it into an IT hub is a conceptual idea. It would be real nice to take things out of context when only part of any discussion is heard. IT would be one function of the building and others to be determined. And I speak only for myself on this comment. I do not want private ownership on a building that sits on the county square. Let me make a few comments about the Sheriff's Department, because I am continually asked why I don't support pay increases for the deputies. And I state again, my decisions have been based on the entire county, not one group. First, I hope all of you have read the fact finder decision in regards to the latest negotiation process. The deputy sheriff's bargaining unit asked for increases that the county cannot afford, and the process has taken both sides to the fact finder. The fact finder has made recommendations that has not been generally agreed to formally by this board or by the DSA that I'm aware of. The part of the discussion for ideas as how to fund those increases was asked of the sheriff. Of the 16 unfilled positions, could he give up any number of those undetermined positions to allow the board to authorize those funds to be used for raises, to which the sheriff said no. So still, the board has to figure out how to fund the raise for the county as a whole, not one bargaining unit. I have been informed by many current employees of Bill's continued support, guidance, and interest in their departments, their staff, plus support outside of the workplace when family health issues have arisen. I will be supporting the renewal of his contract.
Other board members.
You said he was going to, as he didn't pass.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I do have something to say. I did prepare something, as you did, Supervisor Garten, but there's a lot of things that were stated that I do not agree with, and I've been debating, you know, whether it is even appropriate or timely to make these statements, but it seems to me like it's kind of now or never. There are some performance issues, and there have than statements that, you know, no one's perfect, this is true, no one is perfect. There's a lot of things that Mr. Goodwin does do well. But the statement about who is responsible for the budget, I pulled the job classification. And forgive me because I didn't outline it this way. So Mr. Goodwin has in his job specs coordinates preliminary, mid-year, and final budget hearing processes, prepares budget analysis, and provides recommendations to the Board of Supervisors, administers individual budgetary units within the purview of administration. It's in his job classification that he is responsible for the budget. This board is responsible for oversight. Each year that I have been a supervisor, Mr. Goodwin has brought to the board a deficit budget. I don't know what industry that would be acceptable in. And to me, it is not acceptable here either. Regardless of the process that Supervisor Williams stated, that is the process. However, I was on the budget ad hoc, and there were statements made about, we're not going to fix it right now. And then the next year, we're not going to fix it right now. And then this year, we were presented a, you know, over $4.5 million deficit. Last year, we used reserves to balance the budget, the ongoing expenses of the county. This cannot continue. It's not sustainable. The county is working on a plan. It's a very positive thing right now. I am so glad that it's happening, so I do not want to take anything away from that. It is providing some faith in the future, and I'm very glad for that. But the fact is, in my opinion, that we didn't need to wait this long to get here. We should have been doing this more than 4 years ago, probably 7 years ago. I'm not looking for applause. I am just trying to state what I know. When the analyst for Mr. Goodwin stepped forward in his support, or to support him, she said, Mr. Goodwin knew this 4 years ago. Then why didn't we have a plan to fix it 4 years ago? It's very disturbing to me. This is not a small issue. This is a very important thing to us as taxpayers. We do not want to have a county that goes bankrupt, because if it does go bankrupt, we are going to have problems finding funding for the things that we need to take care of. And at the time that we're going to need the funds the most, we won't be able to get our hands on those funds. I take this very seriously. I do have a background in finance, so it does mean something to me. So I feel like there has been a failure on his part to bring forward something that is a balanced budget. It's not personal. I've been accused of not having Mr. Goodwin's back. Nothing that I say about him is personal. I apologize to him if he believes that I am out to do anything other than just to do what's best for this county. And I do believe that the other board members think that they're doing what's best for this county too, but we have different opinions about how that needs to happen. Our total budget is over $225 million. Our general fund budget is currently about $39 million, but that's after COVID. Prior to COVID, it was about $35 million. And we were very, very lucky that the CARES Act funds came. And I'm still not sure that we can use the funds the way that they are being saved. I have a lot of concern about it. The money was supposed to be used, and it was earmarked for COVID-related expenses. It even says in the documents that you are not to use it to balance a budget. However, as soon as the CARES Act funds came, the $1.1 million first amount, it's actually a total of $6.6 million over 6 months. The $1.1 million relieved the pressure for the general fund budget. But without those funds, we would still be trying to figure out what we're going to do today. The plan that we're talking about is a 3 to 5 year plan. It's a good idea. Very, very good idea. We need long-term plans. We also need a short-term plan. We need something that is going to solve the problems today. I have made the statement that we're in a budget crisis. I don't feel that that is the sentiment of several of the other members of this board. So the budget is one area. The other thing that I was, there was other comments that were made about not paying employees shows a lack of respect that come from the business world. Owned my own business, had 15 employees of my own, well, including myself, 14 employees plus myself. There were times I couldn't even get a paycheck. I couldn't take home a paycheck because I had to pay my staff and cover my expenses. And there were other times that I did really well. Trends exist in all walks of life, not just where I came from, but also in government. We need to plan for the times that we have lean times and the times when we are doing well. When we have employees, we have to pay those employees a reasonable wage in order to keep them. Retention is very important because turnover is extremely costly. We can't turn our backs on the employees because it makes them feel unimportant and disrespected. I honestly don't know how to turn this around because when I look at the sheriffs in this room, over the last couple of months, I've needed them personally. I've called for their help personally. And they were there for me. But if they didn't have patrol officers, they couldn't have been there. And I think every single one of you, and every single one of you on this board, would expect to have a response if you had a need with our sheriff's department. I don't want them to feel like they're unappreciated. The language that was used when we talk about the budget, when we talk about shortfall, and we threaten concessions year after year after year, causes instability in our workforce, and we cannot continue to do that. It does show a lack of respect for the employees. They're trying to make a living to take care of their families, and they don't want to go backwards. We have an obligation to plan better so that we can make sure that we are not harming our employees and that they want to stay here, and especially the ones that we, I'm just saying, we have a lot of stars. I guess that's what I want to say. We have some extremely brilliant people in this community. We're very lucky to have them. And I just don't think we do enough for them. And it's not always money. Sometimes it's just showing appreciation. If this administration and this board, instead of talking about concessions, would talk about how much they appreciate the employees, it would go far. It would really be helpful. I know the money matters, but appreciation also matters. I would like to see us pay our employees, and it's not just the deputy sheriffs, but all of the employees, reasonable wages. If we have to have fewer employees, then we need to have fewer employees. We'll have to figure out how to do the job with fewer employees. A lot of employees think when you have fewer employees, if you had more, when you ask somebody to do certain tasks that were in another job description previously, that they're doing two jobs. I would hope that our county employees would recognize that is not the case. We're trying to make ends meet, and we're going to have to do whatever we have to do in order to do this in the right way. But I do think that we need to do whatever we can for our employees now and going forward. I don't know what that looks like, but the issue is in the general fund department. That $225 million, subtract the $39 million, all of those other departments are doing, they're doing fine. They have cost recovery. They have mandated funding, and they have funds that cover everything that they do. It's either covered by grants or some other pot of money. The budget is a very complex issue or document, or it's hard. It's hard to put together. We have a lot of people working on it. We have analysts. We have our chief administrator. We have our auditor. We have the ad hoc, as Mr. Goodwin mentioned. But we need to do whatever it takes in order to make sure that we are not talking deficit and we are not talking employee concessions, and I think ever again. I would never personally bring to any boss an unbalanced budget. I just wouldn't do it. And if we have to go back to our department heads and say, we don't have the money for this, where are you going to cut? Because they're the experts in their area. They're the ones that know where they can't cut. And we can't have people who are going to be stubborn and say, I can't do it. There's no way to cut. We're going to have to do it. But we need to do it in a way that makes sense. And it can be through attrition and restructure. And it doesn't have to mean harm. It could actually be better. We can find efficiencies. We can do all kinds of things that can make it better. Another thing that was brought up has to do with supervision. I'm afraid I do not agree that Mr. Goodwin does well in this area. He's been asked year after year to go into the departments. There's a word for it. It's called management by walking around, where you go in, you check out how things are, and you know what's happening in the field. You know what's happening in your departments. He's in charge of all of these departments. The department heads are responsible for the departments, but those department heads do answer to him, and I know I'm going to have some objection with the board here in saying this, but he has a limited ability to instruct them. The board sets policy, but he has the responsibility of the daily activities of all of the departments in this county, including the administration department. And I do not appreciate, and I think we might have one of the employees here, and this isn't anything personal to that employee, but I don't appreciate that while we were talking about 3% concessions, that Mr. Goodwin hired in his own department a position that had been vacant for quite a long time. It doesn't show good faith. And the other thing is that he actually told me in a meeting that he had no interest in a particular department. I'm not going to say which department it was, but because he would never do that job. That is not what I want to hear from the CAO. I want him to be interested in every single department, and I want him to go out and know what they do and to be aware of the activities that they have and to be able to present to this board the whatever we need to know, to be able to advise us and whatever we need to know. Because it is not possible for us to know those things. We are a policy setting board, and we are not involved in the daily activities. That is his job. Another thing that was brought up tonight, and these are my words, I translated from what I heard, was having to do with letting people know what's going on. I've asked since I've been here to have a PIO, but the truth is there is instruction in his job description, his class specifications, about him disseminating information. It's not limited to just this board. He's the one who has the responsibility. He can delegate it to one of his employees, or he can hire someone to do it. We have not approved a position that's a PIO, but it's his responsibility to let people know what's going on. I think a lot of the scrutiny that this county gets has to do with not getting ahead of the game, not going out and letting the public know when there's change, not managing that change in a very positive way, and using language that's not positive, like deficit and concessions and so forth. And the other thing that happened is with the Measure G. When Measure G did not pass, we can't go backwards and say, well, if Measure G passed, we could do this or that or the other thing. It doesn't matter anymore. It didn't pass. We have to find the solutions with the funding that we have now. And the other things that we have that come forward, things like the cannabis ad hoc and some of the projects that happen in this county, or the things that are, and maybe only one little faction of the community wants it, but that faction of the community is just as important as any other faction, and the stakeholders, the people who are interested in those things, need to be involved. They need to be able to express their opinions in a way where they feel like they're heard. I don't think we're doing that well. And I do think that that is Mr. Goodwin's responsibility. When I worked with him on the cannabis ad hoc, I thought he did a really good job. The people in that ad hoc said, I don't even know what side you're on. They weren't even sure where he stood. He has a position that should be neutral, and that should be the statement. He should be able to bring people together from various points of view, and to be able to say, and to come together with some kind of compromise. It's not always compromise, but something that's going to be a workable document or project or a solution. That's part of his job. I have seen him get very angry at the dais or at the podium when something doesn't go his way. It's been less recently than it used to be. I have seen him retaliate against another employee and myself. So I do not agree with some of the things that were stated. I believe that he lacks trust with multiple departments, many employees. We have a vote of no confidence from 5 out of 6 unions. Nearly 750 members of this community, our employees, do not have trust in this individual. That is a very big deal to me. And that's not personal. It's just what is occurring. It's what's happening. He lacks support to get things accomplished. And that's a problem. We need to have a leader. Someone who can be trusted can be a leader. Someone who cannot be trusted cannot lead. So I have a problem with that. I mentioned that the law enforcement is important to me. I have 4 or 5 other issues that I think you're probably tired of listening to me right now. It's my goal as a supervisor to bring issues to the full body of the supervisors, to be considered openly. I expect the public and all employees to be treated with respect and dignity. When citizens come forward to speak to this body, I believe they should be treated with dignity and respect always, not just some of the time. This board has not always treated me or others with dignity and respect. And that needs to stop. The citizens have a right to be heard and not interrupted, to be recognized and acknowledged. I encourage every person in the county who has something to say to come forward with comments. If you don't, how do we know, we who are supposed to be representing you, how do we know what you think if you don't come forward? I embrace this. I hold a town hall meeting once a month. It's on the fourth Monday of the month. I'm criticized by my fellow supervisors at times because I do this. It is not a gripe session. I'm not trying to go against other supervisors. It is a way to disseminate information and to help the people to be able to understand sometimes what we're doing and to know what's going on. I allow them to have full access to me. I will talk to anyone who calls me. On my cell phone, my number is 707-578-3803. It's plastered everywhere. If you have something you want to talk to me about, whether you're in my district or not, I would like to hear from you. I believe the citizens should be consulted in the majority of the things that we do. They should be included in the planning, and in this budget cycle that we're in right now, the planning stages that we're in, maybe it's not in the beginning stages so we can kind of get our ducks in a line, but the public does need to be involved. And I think that there's times when the stakeholders, you know, the public, are not always included. And this, we conduct the business of the people. That's what we do. And if we're not listening to you, then we are not conducting the business of the people very appropriately. Anyway, that's my opinion. Some of the topics that we deal with are controversial and more difficult when opposing arguments are presented. I oftentimes have dilemmas as far as how can I look at a certain situation. This job is not easy. It's not easy for any one of us. But there was a statement that was stated about this isn't just Bill Goodwin that's on the line here. This is also this board. There's a lot of things that we all need to improve, and I would just like to see us move forward with that kind of improvement. I cannot support the contract for Mr. Goodwin. He already knows that. It's not a surprise to him. And it's for the reasons that I mentioned, but for one other reason. It's because he does not want to work with me. I want to work with him. I want to work with every one of these men on this board and every other person in this county. But when somebody refuses to meet with me, it makes it impossible for me to work with him. And I have been suffering retaliation for, it's been nearly 5 years, and I'm tired of it. And I don't want to put up with it anymore. And so for that reason, I will not be supporting the contract for Mr. Goodwin.
On the board. I wish him luck. I think we've gone over an item about the budget. The budget is pretty simple. We got to make expenses meet revenues. And we're going to ask me to come a lot leaner and meaner. It's going to mean some cuts. We tried to do that last year. We froze positions, and I was the only one on the board that continued to support those frozen positions. We're going to have to get tougher. We have a couple of things that were going on, and I think are very important. The jail remodel and issue is very, very important, not just because we need the jail spaces, but because we need better facilities for the prisoners. We'll be in vital or federal order if we don't. We also need to move ahead of the Manitation Center. It's a good project. I'm sorry. Now this may be short. I think what is best interest of the county. The community really using Bill Goodman. Good on him. He understands things he does that I don't like. But I think he's the best person for the job at this time. I'm going to support Bill.
Anybody want to go home tonight? So first and foremost, thank you all for coming out tonight. And in 2016, I believe, Bert, you and I were on the ad hoc committee. And that's when we looked at deficit spending, and it would go about 4 years. The community, the board, departments were all very hopeful. We hoped that appreciation of property values would go up. Many people have told me that property values went up $1 billion in assessed value in 10 years. But if you go back 12 years, that's when we had that big dip in about 2008. The cost of keeping public employees steadily goes up. So Bert and I were the first ones on the ad hoc to say to Bill, look, we're in deficit spending. We brought it back to the board. We were hopeful. This board, I can say, working for two terms now, the end of my second term will be December. I had two people run against me the first time, one person the time before, and nobody this time. I wish somebody would have come forward in December or January, but nobody did. So here we are, and we're stuck. Because this board does not want to lay people off. This board does not want to tear programs down. But we are at a point now that we have an obligation to our employees. We have an obligation to the services for the community. And we also have an obligation to the taxpayers of Tehama County. So we're here, we're stuck in it, we will wrestle with it, we will wake up at night, and we will hope that we can all work together and find a way to get through this. The first 2 years I was on the board, I probably would not vote to renew Bill Goodwin's contract. I will be voting to renew his contract tonight. Do I always agree with him? Absolutely not. Do I always agree with all the board members? Absolutely not. Just today, I made some decisions that went against some of the other board members. Some people do want to go home tonight. So, I will not finish.
What's the pleasure of the board?
It's called a recall. You guys are out. Screw you all.
My family will be happy.
I'll come over the room for you here.
I have a motion by Supervisor Dartman, second by Supervisor Bundy, to approve the agreement. Any further discussion among board members? Seeing and hearing none, I'll have the clerk call the roll.
Supervisor Carlson? Supervisor Bundy?
Yes.
Supervisor Gartman?
Yes.
Supervisor Chamberlain?
Yes.
Chairman Williams?
Yes.
Thank you all for coming. We're adjourned.
I'm not so comfortable with those.
so I just made it work. And
then
it was muffled because I never plugged the thing back in, so I was scrambling back and forth.